So welcome to Kengo Harimoto, who is a lecturer at Mahidol University in Thailand. Prior to that, he was a lecturer at the University of Hamburg and has also held positions at the universities of Groningen and Leiden. His PhD thesis was a critical edition of the Patanjali Yoga Shastra Vivarana, first Pada, Samadhi Pada. And his book is called God, Reason and Yoga, and it's a critical edition and translation of the commentary ascribed to Shankara on the Patanjali Yoga Shastra 1.23-28 that was published by Hamburg University again. And today he's going to talk about the Patanjali Yoga Shastra Vivarana.
Thank you for the introduction, and thank you for inviting me to this occasion. So my idea today was, well, I had a vague idea that we would read Sanskrit texts together. So I prepared a small section of the Patanjali Yoga Shastra Vivarana to read, and along the way we could discuss a few things, and probably a lot of things will be related to what Philip talked about this morning. I need to introduce the Patanjali Yoga Shastra Vivarana a little bit, and its manuscript situations and so on. The Patanjali Yoga Shastra Vivarana is a commentary on the Patanjali Yoga Shastra, which is often known as the Yoga Sutra and the Yoga Bhashyat. Are you looking for a handout?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I see a few printouts. So it has. I secretly uploaded the handout this morning around 6 in the morning before going sightseeing. So the Vivarana. Some of you might know about this commentary because most famous thing about this commentary is that it is ascribed to that famous Shankara. And there used to be a controversy whether the author was that Shankara or not, and I don't think it's solved yet. The talk today may not be so much about yoga itself, but about this text. The part I'm going to read gives us some interesting matter that might connect this text with that famous Shankara. I hope I could get to that point. So it's a commentary on the Yoga Bhashya or the Patanjali Yoga Shastra, and ascribed to Shankara. In order to look at this edition, you need to know a few things about its manuscript situations. It has, in fact, it is transmitted in 5 manuscripts, and one edition had been published in 1952 from Madras. So those 5 manuscripts, 5 manuscripts, there are 2 manuscripts on palm leaf written in Malayalam script. Those are the 2. And I gave sigla, T and L, for them in this edition. So T stands for Trivandrum, L stands for Lahore. Yeah, Malayalam manuscript in Lahore might sound funny, but it's part of this Woolna collection. It's still there, and some people have seen it in this century or in this millennium. So yeah, it's still there. So those two are the most important manuscripts. And the remaining three manuscripts, all written in Devanagari, derived from either of these two. So I didn't record readings from them this time in this edition. The matter of labor intensiveness. Ideally, they should be included, but not this time. So basically, I recorded three Trivandrum manuscript readings and Lahore readings, and the readings from the edition, 1952 edition. The reason why I recorded them is because the editors did quite a good job of figuring out what the text should read often or sometimes. And this edition derived from eventually from the Lahore manuscript. Someone made a Devanagari copy from that manuscript in the 1920s in Madras, and that was the basic source material used by the editors of the 1952 edition. And so that's the one side of the story. And the Trivandrum manuscript, we know that its exemplar was also the ancestor of the Lahore manuscript. And this was a rather fun thing to discover based on, I described how I found this out in my book, so I don't remember the details, but I'm very confident that Trivandrum manuscript is an apograph of the common ancestor, and Lahore manuscript, not so sure. It could have been, it may not, it might not have been, but they do derive from the same manuscript. And I know that Trivandrum manuscript was copied after the ancestor after the Lahore manuscript itself or its ancestor was copied from the common ancestor. Because the Lahore manuscript preserves misarrangement of folios, but that in the Trivandrum manuscript, there are signs that the misarrangement existed, but the copyist of the Trivandrum manuscript fixed it, repaired it. So it happened before the line of Lahore manuscript was copied. So that's the situation. And when you look at my edition, you see those parentheses, and the part surrounded by those parentheses are the parts that are not available from the Trivandrum manuscript. Maybe I should have shown you. Do you think I can still use the screen? If anyone has access to the Google Drive now, I uploaded some pictures of the
as far as it goes, I'm afraid.
Ah, okay.
I will try.
Is it on the other side?
Yes.
What about this? Is it?
Never mind.
Okay.
It's okay. Oh, yeah. So if you could look at the folder I uploaded, the what was it called? Harimoto manuscript, or MSS. The color photographs. You will find it's very fragmentary. So those are the parts that we cannot recover from the Trivandrum manuscript. So it becomes solely from the Lahore manuscript. So that's the situation. And my observation so far is that this common ancestor was pretty corrupt by the time those two manuscripts were made. And again, I figured that recovering the reading from the common ancestor was not particularly, will not serve the humanity so much. I figured we should do a bit more than just recovering what was on the common ancestor. Let's look at the text itself and try to discuss various issues as they come by. So this is the edition of the Sutras 1, 6 and 7. And sutras are typeset in a bigger typeface, and what one may call pratikas are typeset in bold text, and then this bold typeface part is only about the Bhashya. So what the Vivaranakara usually does is he quotes sutras in full first, then he embeds, essentially all the words from the Bhashya in his commentary. So that's what Philip has been, collecting the verse from the Bhashya. Sometimes it's clear, other times not so clear, but we can make some effort to figure out what readings of the sutra and Bhashya the author had. And on page one of this edition, you see the recovered readings at the bottom of the page. That's what I think was the Patanjali Yoga Shastra, the author of the Vivarana knew. So it starts with his introduction, Kaha Punastaha Krishta Klistaha Panchaprakara Vrittaya Iti Aha. I forgot what 1.5 was. So Yoga Sutta 1.1 is what? Atta Yoga Anushasanam, right? Then 1.2 is Yoga Shchitta Vritti Nirodaha, was it? And then 1.3, what was 1.3? Drastuhu, yeah. And 1.4, Vritsarupyam, okay. And 1.5, thank you very much, everybody. And Krishtha. Okay, so following that, then Sutra 1.6 comes, Pramana Viparaya Vikalpa Nidra Smritaiha Iti. So those are the five vrittis, Pramana Viparaya Vikalpa Nidra Smriti, and Etavatya Eva Vrittaya. So that only that far is, far as those.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
The introductory phrase, Kapunasta Klishta, Klishta Prancha Prakara Vataya Iti Aha.
Yeah.
You said that this is the introduction by the Vivarana.
Oh, I may be wrong. But it sounds like the Bhashya.
In the Bhashya, we have Kapunasta Klishta, Klishta Prancha Da Vritaya.
Yeah.
So the same phrase, but Prancha Da instead of Prancha Prakara. And I would say that Prancha Prakara then is just a variant reading.
Yeah.
And I would think that this is a quotation from the Bhashya.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that, I just forgot to mark it. But Etavatya Eva Vritaya, I think that's from the Bhashya, I think. No, Vivarana. And yeah, and Tatra, and then yeah, the next sutra immediately follows without intervening Bhashya. Pratyaksha anumana agamaha pramanani. So the pramanas are pratyaksha, anumana, and agama. And I think everybody knows what they are. Well, and probably everybody disagrees how to translate each of those. But, then the vivarana starts. Pramanakya vrittis trivida eva bityate. And there already was some textual problem. So pramana akhya is my emendation. All the witnesses had prama akhya. It makes sense with that too, but pramana akhya appears again, and since it refers to the word in the sutra, I think it should be pramana akhya. So that was the basis and of my emendation. And so this citta vritti, and this is a style of this author. The vrittihi means citta vrittihi, and he often uses just the final member of a compound. He avoids to use the same word again and again by using just a shorter version of the same word, and it's kind of conspicuous when he does that. So we should understand vritti as citta vritti. Well, it's obvious from the context, but it's I see that as little bit of stylistic of his. And vidyate, so this activity of the mind called pramana is divided only into three. So there are only three. And tatra pramana akhyayaha again, and citta vrittehe pratamo vedaha pratyaksam. So among those, in the citta the activity of the mind called pramana, the first division is pratyaksa. My translation is, I think, loose. Atas tad lakshanam eva abhidiyate tat purva katvat beda dvayasya. Okay, atas tad lakshanam eva. Ataha. Ataha, what does this ataha doing? Okay. Right, okay. So. Only or verily, probably many people don't like to translate eva as verily, but it's the but it's a convenient shortcut to render eva. And so verily, it's again, lakshana, definition, characterization is stated abhidiyate. Since the remaining two divisions, or Beda Dvayasya, presuppose that pratyaksha. So, this I think is kind of this statement is worth paying attention to, I think. Not everybody agrees to this point, but some do. So, when I have to write a Vivarana Kara's philosophy on pramana, this becomes one of the bullet points that he assumes that the two pramanas are based on pratyaksha. That's what the Mimamsakas, or at least Kumarila, does, and so that's one bullet point. And the next word, typeset in bold typeface, Indriya Pranadikaya. One hour ago, I thought, oh, I have a typo. And I checked, and that's how these manuscripts consistently read. So I think it was a conscious decision of mine to adapt this orthography. Does it sound okay? Or yes, yeah.
You mean as opposed to Pranalikaya?
Exactly.
I think the two spellings are fine.
Okay.
Promiscuously everywhere.
Okay. So Indriya, and this is again the style of his glossing verse. So Indriya Pranadikaya is in the Mula, i.e. the Bhashya. And so he picks up first Indriyam, so Indriyam Iti. And so this part Indriya refers to the set of five, starting from Shrotra, the hearing organ. And I think it's also worth paying attention to the fact that he says Shrotra Adi instead of Chakshura Adi. And I think it's a Sankhya thing that Indriyas are, well, what is it called? This type of Indriya is counted from Shrotra, and I think it reflects the order of Prithivi, Ap, Tejaha, and backwards. So yeah, those are the five, and not Karma Indriyam, not the action organs, action faculties. This again is a Sankhya thing. And Tasya Chitta Vritti Ahetukatvat. I don't like compounds that have Hetu or Hetuka as the second member. what is it? So Karma Indriyas are not the cause of the activities of mind. I think not the other way around. Right? And tat kriyartam hi tat. It, the karma indriya, for karma indriya, is for the sake of that, the actions of for them, of that citta vritti, I think. So, yeah. So citta vritti first and karma indriya two things. I think that's the point. Tasmad indriya shabdasya samani arta tve pi tu citta vritte upavya chikya sita tvad shrota adi vishayata eva. And again, a little bit of stylistic issue. This api tu, so arta tve api tu sounds odd, no? It sounds little clumsy. To my ear, at least. And so now I look at the apparatus. This reading comes from Trivandrum manuscript. No, it shouldn't be. There's something wrong with the apparatus. I mention Uchita Vrittehe as the readings from Trivandrum and Laho, but I also state there that I adapted the reading to Chitta Vritteru from Trivandrum manuscript. Something is wrong. And
which image would it be among your various?
Ooh, okay. Let me try. BM8R4. I think it should be TM8R somewhere. So it should be TM8R4, so folio 8 recto line 4. And do you So I see TM TM Trivandrum manuscript, so 08R.tiff should be the image.
Right or left?
I'm starting from right. I still don't know where it is. Tatra pratyaksha numana agamaha pramana. It may have been Shanam Eva Abhidiyate Oke Sat Vrtel Uppa. So it's 8R. 08R.tiff, and so on the right hand side, and it's line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about the middle. So do you see the string hole? Does anyone? And to the right of, to the left of it, there's this lacuna, or this missing part. And before that is Uchita Vriteru Upa. So, yeah, it should be Uchita Vriteru. And, so two was probably my conjecture, which doesn't sound right. At this moment, I feel like dropping this too, and just read Samanya Tatve P Chitta Vrittehe Upavyach Kiasatvat. I think that sounds better. But as a philologist, I'm obliged to explain why this reading crept into the Trivandrum manuscript.
In Grunton script manuscripts, and I think also sometimes in Malayalam script, you have this sometimes a punctuation mark or a space filler.
Hmm.
So in an exemplar, you can imagine having used the space filler to fill a sort of bit of a blank line or something, and then that being misunderstood before.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I will quote you. Okay, so that's another text critical issue. The author is saying, I think is pretty clear. Tasmat indriya shabdase samanya tatve api citta vritti rupa vyajkiya satva shrotra adi visayata eva. So this word refers to Shrotra, etc., hearing faculty, etc., only because that was what was meant. Something like that. Even though the third word, Indriya, has the meaning shared by these two, in Karma Indriya, and what's the other Indriya? What does anyone...
Yeah.
Jnana Indriya, yeah, yeah. So that's the point. And Vrittartattva Chasrotra Adinam, okay. Since also because Shrotra, the hearing faculty, etc., are there for the Chitta Vritti, or Chitta Vritti. And Indriyam Eva Pranadika Dvaram. So, yeah. Please. Okay. Which one?
Pranadika Dvaram.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah. That's a I think a gloss of a compound, that compound in Indriya Pranadi. Yeah. Yeah.
So the door of the channel is an Indriya.
The channel is Nadi.
Yeah. So Pranadi, well, basically what he's saying is that it's a Karmadharya compound, and Pranadika is used in the sense of gate.
Does it work logically
the other way around. I don't grammatically.
Can you say the
Karmendras
have Chitta Vritti as their cause?
That's fine. No, no. Well, that's the sort of comments I totally welcome. Yeah, by
Chitta.
Yeah.
Therefore, a Chittavritti. So it could work in the normal sense of Chittavritti. Having those, they are caused by the.
Right, yeah.
But do we expect that Chittavritti
hated
the dwarf or
Chittavritti?
Ahead. That's your point, yes, sorry.
Yeah.
Sometimes it looks like a mistake.
Yeah. It could be, but yeah. Yeah.
Or very
Which is more so? Maybe we should get back to this principle of which is more likely to have caused either reading than probably. But we don't have a variant, right? It's always Tiahe was consistent, or where does Tiahe was pretty consistent, so yeah, I think I had to twist the meaning of the compound to reflect the logic, and I'm not particularly happy. Probably the reading chosen by the editors was preferable. Anyways, that's one of many things that can happen to this text. So we do understand why the editors chose that reading. No? Instead of Hetuka, they went for Hetu. Chitta Vritti Ahetu Tuvad.
Maybe for the reason that Dominic pointed out.
further standard samkhyatas that the Buddha is. So the Buddha Indriyas are the standard explanation is that they have the Buddha carry out its functions.
Yeah.
It would be a bit odd if the Citta Vritti were the
so
means. Perhaps they took out, we can intend not the cause, but the means of realization.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a job for the future editors to decide, I think.
Could I ask you what Tat is doing in Tat Triangtan?
So the first Tat, or I took the second Tat as Karma Indriyam,
yes.
And the first Tat to be Citta Vritti.
The use of those half brackets underneath it indicate half.
There's an apparatus attached to that part,
oh,
of variant reading. So
omitted in the edition.
In the edition.
For a good reason.
Yes. Yeah.
They are not. We're not dealing with those because they are not the cause of citta vritti.
Mm-hmm.
Their function.
Yeah.
Is
to
action.
Yeah.
Kata,
to do.
Tat karmendriya.
Yeah.
I don't think we need that touch.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, then I'll just follow the editors.
Yeah.
That's...
Citta vritti kriya doesn't make sense.
No, none at all. It's completely irrelevant. I certainly can't refer to citta vritti.
Mm.
We're not going to talk about karmendriyas because they're not the cause of mental activity.
Mm.
Their function is to produce
yeah,
action.
Yeah, just action.
Lifting, walking, whatever.
Okay, thank you. I adapt that.
You're following the orthography also of the edition.
Oh yes, yeah, that's one thing
it's
I had to.
Confusing with words like vrityartatva.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Considered a mistake.
Yeah. And I had some discussion.
Vritti,
yeah, yeah. TTY becomes TY and TTV. So,
yeah.
This how do you call it? This double consonants followed by semi-vowel gets one sort of
yeah.
principle.
The degermination is a bit confusing for
yeah.
the average reader.
To me too, but that's the orthography I adapted for the first volume, and I feel I'm obliged to follow it.
But it's not everywhere. Sometimes we have vritti with
two. Yeah, vritti is fine, but vritti plus semi-vowel, like Y or B. I hope people are not put off too much by those. How much time do I have, actually?
You have about 15, 17 minutes.
Okay. So after this, I will just do the gloss part and Indriyam eva pranankadvaram, so this is the explanation of the compound, shabda adi akara vritti rupena parinama manasya chittasya. So chittasya is in the bhashya, and this chittasya is explained as shabda adi akara vritti rupena parinama manasya. So it's the citta is being changing its shape or modes in the form of the in the form of rupena actions vritti in the form of shabda etc. Shabda adi akara vritti rupena parinama manasya. So citta changes into those.
But it doesn't, does it? There seems to be something missing there. It changes into the form of, takes on changing form of perceptions of sounds, etc. Does it actually turn into sounds, etc.?
I think it. That's what...
Tadrupa parinama, yeah.
Yeah.
In some cases, you say tadrupa parinama.
I think that's what they.
Part comes from the Porsche.
Yes.
Yes. We see what body he
has. The chitta becomes the sense objects.
It depends if you follow Vindhyavasin or Vajragamya. Vajragamya and Vindhyavasin have two slightly different theories. In one of them, first the Indriya turns into the object, then the manas turns into the Indriyas which have turned into the object, and then the buddhi, if you have it or not, also functions. And then there's the two theories, one is the mirror.
Right.
And the other one is this crystal type thing, or the transfer of heat. That's why they struggle most.
Yeah. Yes, one should never allow counterintuitiveness to appreciation of Indian philosophy. Yeah. Thank you for that explanation.
Then the Vivarana Kara, I think, is subscribing to this Vindhyavasin side, no? Basically. Or not. Not necessarily. There's this theory that Yoga Bhashya, what say, reflects Vindhyavasin's philosophy, or was it Akhuruzhika, or?
Well,
said
so, yeah.
Yeah.
Based on information from the
Anyways, yeah, so citta changes into the form of shabda, etc. I think you could tell that to the Buddhist too. This grahya graha akara, that sort of stuff that I kept hearing in the past.
As I can say, I suppose my own consciousness overwhelmed by sounds, but now actually becoming one.
Atas tena indriya dvarena samanya vishesha atmaka bahya vasta akarataya parinama manam upavarajyate. So the subject should be citta, I think. Yeah, citta gets colored upavarajyate, well, being changing into the form, so parinama manam, into the form akara, well, having the form of, yeah, having the form of the external objects or bahya vastu, whose natures are samanya and vishesha. So, yeah, well, by having that indriya as the access point. Yeah, so the important thing here is that bahya vastu has a nature of both samanya and vishesha. Unlike certain Buddhists who say, well, basically vishesha is svalakshana. Svalakshana is only, yeah. No. We get to see that. And so citta is colored by the form of the bahya vastu.
Did you say colored by the form, or colored by the fact that it takes on the form? Maswakartaya.
Right.
And then the question is the akara of the thing itself, or a reflex of the thing, akara in the Buddhist sense of I don't know, I'm not an expert in this
area. Yeah, well.
He talks about mudra and pati mudra.
Right. Citta does become it, I think. Then citta becomes bahya arta, and then purusha enters. Then things get even more obscure in my mind. That we will see. So tasya tad uparagat hetos cittasya ya mudra prati mudra vat vrittihi. This hetoho is there to explain the ablative, I think. So the word in the Bhasha is uparagat, I think. Yeah. And tasya is gloss, I think it's gloss as chittasya.
Yeah.
It's a little far away, but so a vritti activity will appears, emerges to the citta, that citta, because or due to this coloring, like the stamp and how do you call it?
Seal
and the seal
impression.
Yeah, seal and the impression of the seal. So this vritti appears. Then samanya vishesha atmaka vastu paragepi vishesha vadarana pradana saeva pratyaksham pramanam. Okay. So even though the coloring is vastu api, so samanya vishesha atmaka vastu uparagya, even though citta is colored by the thing vastu whose nature is both samanya and vishesha, pratyaksha is the pramana that's main concern is to determine vishesha.
This doesn't really fit with the idea that citta has become the object here. The mudra, prati mudra bhava that's referred to here indicates thing putting an impression on something else.
Yeah.
So there's a object outside the mind,
mm-hmm.
It becomes colored by that mind, by that object. It doesn't become that object, at least in this exegesis.
Right. Based,
Uparaga indicates.
It's not more like
identification, but being influenced by something.
Yeah.
Like a crystal,
it's still
becomes
there.
Pink because a pink object is in its vicinity.
Yeah. It indeed. So
it takes on the appearance of it, doesn't actually become that thing.
It takes the shape, the colour.
The most strange account of consciousness, really, wouldn't it? Unless you're an idea that's what they appear not to be.
I think this Spatikamani shows up somewhere in the following. So this crystal.
Mm.
Crystal simile. So it's always confusing what is likened to crystal. I think it's usually buddhi, but I get confused, especially in this text when Purusha enters the picture or Atman. And it's I have that problem with Shankara's Advaita too, actually. Well, Shankara thinks the role of buddhi in Shankara's philosophy is mystifying to me. He doesn't explain where buddhi came from.
It may be mystifying to him too.
I think it was mystifying to his disciples like Sureshvara. And that's one of the things I'm interested in. But I spent so much time already, but so I will just show you the synopsis of the whole thing, and I hope I still have time to read a little bit of the most interesting part of this this section.
7 minutes.
Okay, so following this explanation of the Bhashya, our author discusses why Pratyaksha is concerned with Vishesha. So it's 1.2, I numbered that as 1.2, Pratyaksha and Vishesha. And why Pratyaksha is, his point is Pratyaksha is concerned with Vishesha, as the Bhashya says, but a thing always has both Samanya and Vishesha. And that's, I think, consistent with everybody apart from Buddhists, I think. then this opponent clearly, well, maybe not clearly, some kind of Buddhist, more likely Dignaga, is mentioned. So yasya punaha samanyam avastu adhyaro pitam eva ushara ambuvat na indriya vishayam iti. So yeah, this is the Buddhist position of pratyaksha, and samanya being unreal, and he criticizes it. And there was a few interesting criticism that's rarely seen elsewhere, I thought. Something like mixing up the objects of sense faculties if you don't accept samanya.
Fusion.
So Sankara. If you don't accept this, I cannot quite summarize what he says, but if you do not accept samanya is real, then you may come up with the idea that the object of hearing faculty is also the object of seeing as well. Something like that is there in this paragraph. And another topic he was concerned was the issues of yogi pratyaksha and manasa pratyaksha. And some of you may be familiar that these become quite a big problem. Some definitions of pratyaksha do not cover these two, but at some point it was realized that what yogins see and what we feel as pain or etc. should also be qualified or categorized as pratyaksha, and that's discussed. And his answer is those two are also pratyaksha, even though the bhasha itself uses indriya pranardikaya. So he had to get around this fact so that what the bhasha says still encompass the yogi pratyaksha and manasa pratyaksha. And he does that rather ingeniously by referring to the next sentence of the yoga bhasha, which is palam tat avishishtaha paruseyas citta vritti bodaha iti. So this apparently is a statement about the pramana pala, or the palam of pratyaksha. But if I understood this author correctly, he sees this as some sort of definition of pratyaksha. That was interesting. And the remaining, so which page am I on? Page 3. Remaining 10 pages, or 7 pages, is about the pramana and pramana pala. And if you are familiar, that's a big issue among the Buddhist pramana people like Dignaga and Dharmakirti. So he clearly had them in mind as opponents. But so that's 1.4 starting from page 4. And then, for those who don't know the issue, the issue was, well, the Buddhists say pramana and the result of pramana are the same. And there are some other opinions, but yeah. And this author's solution, this is relatively complicated, but he says in section 143, there's no independent effect of pramana, or pramana and para are not identical. And further down, he says, well, he deals with the criticism. So he basically says pramana para is figurative, i.e. wrong.
Two.
Okay. So I should have some time for the discussions, right? Yeah, okay.
Maybe the discussion is the tea break.
Yeah, okay. The most interesting thing I found in this section is that this 1.4.3.4, where this author says pramana is useless, basically. If I understood him correctly. And that sounds so much like Shankara. That's where I was getting at. So I wish, I could have read a bit more, but.
We're scheduled for a tea break. Maybe, people that need to go to the bathroom before the next talk can just show themselves out, grab a cup of coffee, come back in, and we continue the conversation for those who want to stay. What do you think?
Well, I could just, yeah. So, yeah, okay, I will just wrap up. I hope I could convey some difficulties that I would have when dealing with this Vivarana. I wish people just look at the apparatus and figure out what kind of issues there are to edit this text. That's maybe point one. And point two is that this section contains a rather interesting discussions that might point to who the author was. Those are the 2 points I wanted to make.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Comments?
Can I make a comment? You said it might point to who the author is.
Yeah.
Is there any evidence that you can point to which is convincing in that regard?
No. not.
Right. So you don't hold the view that this is the work of the author of the Brahma Sutra Bhashya?
I am tempted to take that position.
Right.
But there's no comprehensive or conclusive evidence that leads anyone to that.
But the only evidence for it being the Shankara is the use of the term Bhagavad Pada in a colophon. And of course that's not in itself primary evidence if a colophon says something. It's because at some point the tradition desired to attribute it to him. It doesn't actually mean that it's by Shankara himself. So is there anything really in the text itself which gives you a clear indication that this comes from the same mental world that produced the Brahma Sutra?
Okay, so the paper I read in Tokyo mentioned that I sensed the same mind in the very sarcastic statement he uses at the end. So when you look at the page 10, actually, sorry that I'm going over time, this statement, I don't think this sentence as a Sanskrit text is quite correct, but he's very sarcastic of those, say, pramana varins, and just ignore this pramana and pramana pala stuff. Eva kevalam, matram eva kevalam.
There's nothing more.
Yeah.
Than a conceit.
Yes.
In the form of the recognition of pramana pala. It's actually not very clearly stated, is it?
Sounds so redundant, this part, this matram eva kevalam. Take them seriously. And I sense the same kind of mindset in a statement in the Brahma Sutra Bhashya when he says those educated people are not different from animals. So when he talks in the beginning of the Brahma Sutra Bhashya, he talks about pramana and pramana pala, so pravritti nivritti. So pratyaksha adi pramana is the referent, and those who follow those, or pramana, it just makes a person not so different from animals. And
yes, well,
so
that doesn't seem to me to be specific enough.
Not specific enough, but yeah, but you can recognize same director when you see movies, no?
Yeah.
Or same authors when you novels, in that sort of intuitive. Well, intuitive is a little too strong a word, but in that sense, I kind of feel so. It's a very subjective, not very objective. But my subjective sense tells me, these two people or these two authors think quite similar way.
Right.
Similarly. So yeah.
But have you checked like? Certain kind of stylistic formulation, like suppose presentation of syllogism.
Yeah.
Like what kind of syllogism is popular around the time of Brahma Sutra, Vashyakara, Dharmakirti, and people. And a little later, maybe 10th, 11th century, there are different types of presentation.
Yeah.
If you find such kind of presentation in Vivarana, that might be problematic, subjective thing. Have you checked such thing? There are sometimes such long logical presentations.
Yeah.
But
it's always primitive, this text. He doesn't know, well, at least he didn't understand Dharmakirti.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he is almost.
That is another issue, but
yeah.
He uses a little later number like style or the high part syllogism.
Oh, yeah, well, it's not there. It's the stylistically, it's close to Shavara and Brahma Sutra Bhashya.
Okay, we should probably stop
okay.
there. And,
yeah,
thanks again.
Okay,
let's take a 10-minute break, so don't go far.
Two minutes.